Welcome to the Soul Traveler Podcast, an exploration of conscious living with your host, Jennifer Mitchell of The Soul Experience. Join Jennifer as she explores the quantum realms of the subconscious mind and all aspects of spirituality. Driven by curiosity and a thirst for knowledge, topics will stretch the boundaries of your imagination and revive your mind, body, and soul.
Hello, Soul Travelers. Welcome back to another amazing episode. I am so excited because I have a very special guest here with me today. I have Emma Louise Dyson, who is a earth medicine practitioner and a shamanic witch. Welcome to the show, Emma.
Hey, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yes, I'm excited to have you here. Can you share with listeners where you're calling us from today?
I am in Chester in England today.
Wow. And we were chatting offline and it's winter time there. You said it's really dark outside.
When we're recording this, it's 5 p.m., but it is like total pitch black here because we're quite high in the Northern Hemisphere. So it gets dark. Yeah, we get a lot of dark hours, very little sunlight this time of year.
Yeah, I'd love if you can share your story and how you actually ended up there, because I know you used to live over in Colorado and you had a place in Vegas you mentioned. So what changed? How did you end up where you're at now?
So I left home when I was quite early, like when I was about 17, and I lived all over the UK. I trained as a dancer originally. So I was touring around the UK, and then I started working on cruise ships and traveled all over. I met a guy who was from Colorado. We got together. I ended up moving there for a little while, and then I moved back to the UK in 2012. Things didn't work out. And so, and then I put my house on the market earlier this year, sold my house, and I'm actually going to be using the equity from my house to buy some land and start my journey off grid. So currently living with my partner in Chester, which is a beautiful historical town, and really looking forward to this for the holidays. It's going to be beautiful here.
How amazing is that? Talk to me a little bit about living off grid. What is that going to entail? I'm curious about that.
Okay, so we are looking for some land, and then either somewhere that has like a footprint, or we will build something. So maybe a cob house, which is kind of like real old school, made out of basically straw and dirt and mud, and a barn, and we'll be generating our own power. We will be growing all of our own produce. We will be collecting rainwater that will go through a filtration system, or maybe find somewhere that has a well. And I'm really passionate about foraging and natural medicine and what we can, what Mother Earth provides for us. So I want to be running some retreats and workshops and things, inspiring other people to be able to do this too.
That sounds like such a beautiful vision. When we talk about earth medicine, like, what is one thing that you wish that people knew about earth medicine?
We live in this world right now where everything is instant. Everything is like at the push of a button.
Yeah.
And I feel like many people are quite disconnected from what Mother Earth already provides for us. Mm-hmm. And so earth medicine is really about working with the energies of rocks and minerals, crystals, plants, herbs, working with the elements, plant spirits, all of these wonderful things that are already provided with us, and really kind of grounding into the energy of the earth, which I don't know, I feel people are so disconnected from a lot of today. And so it's really about teaching people how to bring back into earth and what we have in abundance already for us.
Yeah. I find it so interesting too. I don't know about there where you're at, but here in the States, every single radio commercial, TV commercial is about some pill or some drug that has the longest list of these crazy side effects. And I just find it so wild, Emma, that people find that to be normal. But then there's like skepticism when it comes to earth medicine and natural. Yeah. Why do you think that is? And how do you deal with skepticism? Do you come across that frequently, or?
Yeah, I don't know. I think people are more open now. I think people are more like accepting, but there is that skepticism that comes around. Unfortunately, you can't make any money from something that just grows on the ground. And so I feel that what happened with, because we are provided with all of this from Mother Earth, yeah. And, you know, people think that this is quite new age when actually this is ancient medicine, right? Yeah. Like ancient civilizations all over the world have been working with plants for such a long time. And then the pharmaceutical industry came about and it was big bucks. And now with all of the way that things are marketed and the propaganda and that it's really shunned like natural medicine. But it's really interesting. For example, I use a flower called meadowsweet, a plant called meadowsweet, which is really good for kind of as a natural painkiller. And so is the bark of willow trees. Willow trees is also a good painkiller. And they actually were derivatives of aspirin. So we can see where like things come from in nature. And yeah, I think people are more open to it now. And the world is kind of looking at alternatives right now, kind of going back to where it was.
That is so wild. I've also heard that dandelion is really powerful and not to like get rid of it, and it's not like not to pull it like a weed. I've been seeing that like all over the place lately.
Yeah, dandelion is incredible. Like it has so many benefits. The roots in particular are really beneficial. They're a diuretic. When I went to school, like when I was really young, people would say, oh, don't pick dandelions because like you pee the bed. But actually like that's like some folklore. Basically, yeah, they work as a diuretic, so they can help to flush out the liver and the kidneys, and yeah, really beneficial.
So you're a shamanic witch.
Yes.
Define what that means for listeners.
So I have been practicing traditional witchcraft for the longest time, and shamanism is, a lot of people think that it is kind of Native American or South American, but there are actually shamans in every single culture around the world, all over the world, from Siberia to the UK to Tibet. And so it's really the oldest practice, spiritual practice, probably 40,000 years old.
Wow.
And so again, it's working with the energies of earth, working with the elements, again, working with plants and rocks and minerals. And so we're all probably familiar with the law of attraction, and what we put out, we kind of attract back to us. And the key for that is really intention. And so when we practice witchcraft, in my personal practice, it is all about setting intention and manifesting those things that we want to bring into our lives, but using and working with different herbs, different rocks, different things that align with the energy of what it is that we want to manifest.
That's beautiful. And so do you work with spell casting as well?
I do. Yeah, I do. So it's been a really poignant time as we're recording this right now. I know Halloween is like really big in the US, and it comes from the pagan, the old Celtic and pagan festival of Samhain. Oh. So this was a time, really powerful time. It's the witch's new year. This time is where the kind of veil between the spirit world and the physical world is the thinnest, so we can connect with our ancestors. So yeah, I did an online ritual that we all did together. We did some candle magic and set our intentions for the new year.
Is there like a spell that you've ever cast and you were just like, oh my God, because you were shocked at how effective it was or how powerful it was?
Yes, really, really powerful. It was a manifestation spell that I did. And I was working with the color green. So that is all about bringing in wealth, crystals such as pyrite, citrine, aventurine. These are, again, all for kind of bringing in wealth and abundance. And I created a sigil, so a symbol which I created for bringing in more wealth and abundance. And I manifested a free 45-day cruise and £6,000.
Oh my goodness.
I know.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the details for this spell. So, you know, when you say witch, not necessarily shamanic witch, but we say witch, I think most people have this image in their mind, you know, thanks to the movies and things like that. So I have to ask, do you have a cauldron?
I do. Okay. I have several cauldrons.
Okay, I had to. I was picturing, and I was like, I just need to know. That is amazing. And you also work a lot with crystals.
Yeah.
Then when did you get started working with crystals? And does that go like, obviously it goes hand in hand with everything that you do with nature and spell casting, being a shamanic witch. But I'm curious, like, how powerful are crystals, especially for someone too, maybe who doesn't know a lot about them? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I've worked in jewelry and gemstones for about 20 years now, all over the world. I've represented some big luxury brands, Montblanc, David Yurman, Cartier. I traveled all over. I trained in New York in the Diamond District. I visited different gemstone mines in Tanzania. I studied with the Gemological Institute of America, and I'm also an accredited crystal practitioner. So I love the crossover between the science and the metaphysics. And so how crystals work is everything is energy, right? Mm-hmm. So the screen that you're watching this on or listening to this on right now, everything, the pen that I've got here next to me, the water bottle, everything is made up of energy, and everything has its own energetic vibration. And that's science. Yeah. And so crystals have this perfect structure. And as human beings, we're made up of lots of different vibrations. So our heart, our DNA, our hair, everything has its own vibrations. Crystals are different because they have this perfect crystalline structure. And so they vibrate at one different frequency. And so when we bring a crystal into our own energetic field, our body starts to align with that crystal. And that is kind of how crystal healing works. Mm-hmm. So different crystals have different frequencies. We hear about rose quartz being wonderful for bringing love into our lives, or working with self-love or issues with grief. And so the rose quartz vibrates at a frequency that is really aligned with the heart and the heart chakra and the energy of love.
It's beautiful. Now, I know that a lot of people say that crystals, like, you'll just know, like, it'll call to you. If you're in a crystal store, you'll know which one to pick. What if that doesn't happen?
So,
starter crystal that you would recommend?
So, yeah, there's some amazing starter crystals. Yeah. I would always say go with your intuition. Mm-hmm. Like, you will be called to a crystal. You don't need to know why. So many people get like hung up on books, and there's so much conflicting information out there because it is quite subjective, and we all have our own personal experience with different crystals. But if there's one crystal that I recommend everybody should own, that would be clear quartz. And so quartz is very high vibrational crystal, but it also is an amplifier. So if you're working with other crystals, clear quartz can kind of like 10x the energy of other crystals, but it's also a crystal that is so versatile. So you could work with it for, you know, if you had a specific ailment that you wanted to heal, a certain emotional issue that you wanted to heal, or if you just wanted to raise your vibration. You know, sometimes we feel a bit kind of sluggish, a bit kind of down. Clear quartz is brilliant for just kind of like, it's like a little pick-me-up.
Is there a way to tell a real crystal from a fake crystal? In today's world, I feel like there's so much fake stuff. You know, you can order stuff online or go to the store. How can listeners who are interested in buying a crystal, how could they tell like a real from fake?
It's difficult. Like, I've been 20 years working in the industry, and sometimes it's easy. And sometimes they've created these incredible fake crystals. I would always say that when you hold a crystal next to your skin, it should naturally heat up with the body heat. So that's one way to tell. Buying from a reputable dealer is really, and knowing what the path that your crystal has come to you from is also really important. So there are a few different ways for different crystals. Some of them have been dyed, so you can like get them wet and rub them and see if the dye comes off. It really depends on what the crystal is. But my word of advice for everybody is to make sure that you're purchasing from somebody that is reputable, and the supplier should know the whole journey that the crystal has been on before it gets to them.
I had this friend once who was having a situation with entities in this house, and they used crystals to protect them, like to put the crystals around the bed, and the entity like wouldn't go near the bed. And no matter what this person did, like the entity like, would not leave this house. It was real interesting. But the crystals seemed to protect him. like, what crystals would you recommend if someone's going through that? Or is there a certain type that's like best for evil spirits or bad energies?
Yeah, definitely. So when it comes to protective crystals, black crystals are some of the most protective. So black obsidian, yeah. Although the energy can be quite heavy with black obsidian, but that is like super protective. But I always recommend black tourmaline. Mm-hmm. That is my favorite protection crystal. And just to get a bit sciencey, black tourmaline, we love this. So black tourmaline has this natural ability that when it is under pressure, it will polarize. So what will happen is the particles within the black tourmaline, negative ones will go to one end, positive ones will go to the other end, and it will kind of work like a magnet. And it will do this physically. So if you had little bits of glitter or bits of small bits of paper, you could actually pick them up with the black tourmaline at one end and it would repel them like a magnet the other end. And that's how it works with energy. So it can actually transmute negative energy. So it draws it into the crystal, and then it will then release that negative energy in the form of more positive energy. So black tourmaline is always my number one recommendation when it comes to protection.
I did not know that. That is so fascinating. Now, one of the things that you also talk about, I love to shift gears a little bit here, is living in sync with the seasons. So how does somebody go about doing that? How do you sync your body with the seasons and with nature?
You just have to look around, you know, this time of year when we're recording right now in the fall, you know, the leaves are falling from the trees here in the UK. And this is a real energy of just letting go, releasing, kind of clearing out what no longer serves you anymore. And I'll give you another example. So New Year. So we celebrate New Year's Eve on the 31st of December. And people start the new year and they're like, right, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to go running. I'm going to do all of these things. And where I am in the UK, it is cold and dark and wet and freezing, right, on New Year's Day. And it's our ancestors here. They wouldn't have been eating salad and going for a run. It would be a time where they would be resting and recuperating and re-energizing. And then as we go into the spring and we start to see new life in nature, that would be a good time right then to set your New Year's resolutions, to start working on something new as we have this like new life, this new energy. So as a pagan, we have something called the Wheel of the Year. And so we have 8 different like pagan holidays. You will have heard of things like the summer solstice and the winter solstice, yeah. As they're like, everybody knows those, mm-hmm. But there are also other ones as well. And so we just align with the energies of the year and what is nature doing and how can we kind of really honor that and tune into that.
I literally feel like I just had the biggest aha moment because I'm exhausted all winter. And yeah. I'm just like, I don't like this time of year. I just want to sleep. I have no energy. I'm very unmotivated. And it makes so much sense why. I don't know why I never thought about it. Because it's a time for recuperating. It's a time absolutely. Of rest. All my energy is in the summer. I'm ready to just go, 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 you know, all summer, spring, but not in the winter. Yeah. It's very absolutely. Challenging for me to get off of the couch.
I hear you. I really do.
Yeah. And it's so interesting, though, how society has done such a good job at conditioning us that we don't even realize those simple things sometimes, you know, going back to simplicity. And when we think about, like you said, the way our ancestors would have lived.
Yeah, definitely. We're conditioned in so many ways. Like I haven't watched the news since 2006 and I don't really watch a lot of TV, but it's really interesting. Like when I put my property on the market, I had this beautiful overlooking the water, this old Victorian cottage. It was gorgeous. And even me, who I feel like actually I'm quite like out of that conditioning and that programming, still, you know, what am I doing? Am I doing the right thing? You know, if you've got a property, if you've got a house, you've got security, all of these things. And it was a really big, probably one of the bravest things I've ever done was like, I don't really know where I'm going after I've sold my house. Let's see where the universe takes me. So yeah, the conditioning is really interesting. And we live in this world where we're almost by working really hard and like hustling, it's almost like a badge of honor, when actually like just softening a little bit, especially as women, you know, we have this real masculine energy a lot of the time. It's like go, go, go. Sometimes we're quite out of tune with our own kind of feminine flow. So yeah,
it's like society praises burnout, especially here in the US. I don't know if it's as bad as it is, you know, here in the US. Everywhere I've heard that it's really bad here versus like some places. So I don't really know if that's true, but yeah, it's like, you know, you work 80-100 hours a week and society likes to praise that. I mean, that is literally so bad for the body, and people need to take a time just to self-love and to rest and take care of themselves. And
yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole system from kind of going to school, you know, the things that we're taught at school aren't necessarily the things that we're really going to need to know in our adult life. It's almost like that we go into the school system, which pumps out people to go and work, go to college, get a good job so you can work, and then work crazy hours all of your life. And then by the time you get to retirement age, like sometimes you just don't even have much time to really enjoy that. And so like you say, like self-care, finding balance and just making some time for you, I think is so important. And that's why I love what I do with earth medicine, witchcraft, because it just brings me back to nature and just grounds me and get out of my head and kind of into my body. Yeah.
And one point that you just kind of touched on, which is so interesting, because just yesterday I was saying about how from a very young age in school, society prepares us for burnout. I mean, my son goes to school for 8 hours a day and then comes home and has 2 hours of homework. I mean, so we're literally programming children to go to work all day and then come home and continue working. And which means like, when is their family time? You know, it's like that's that programming starts at such a young age. And I was just saying that to my husband like yesterday. Like, I am anti-homework. Like, my kids shouldn't have to do this. Like, we don't go, you know, is this what we want him to do? You know, go to school or go to work all day and then come home and continue working? So, it is crazy how young the day that it's instilled in us.
Yeah, it is. I'm meeting more and more people that are homeschooling and world schooling and taking their kids out of school and travel. And I'm meeting so many more people doing that now. And kind of, I think a lot of the old paradigms and a lot of the old programming, there's a big shift happening and people are kind of waking up to things that just don't seem to make sense anymore in the world that we live in now. And it's a lovely thing to see.
Yeah, I absolutely would love to do the world schooling. It's just a little difficult when partner doesn't necessarily agree with that. I'm working on convincing, so I want to do the world cruise, and I have it all planned out. So you have to know I'm not there. What are you most excited about for the next step in your off-grid journey? Like, what excites you the most?
Actually finding the right piece of land.
Yeah.
So it's been a few months now and we've been looking, but I think, again, I don't want to do anything in the winter. I don't think it's going to be the right move here when it's kind of snowing and like -5 and like, that's not going to be a good idea. So we're going to wait until the spring and then really start to look properly. And having a much clearer image now about what we would like. And I really want to create a beautiful retreat space as well. Mm-hmm. So I can welcome people in and run retreats and workshops. So honestly, the most exciting thing about all of this will be finding the land, but also getting out of the system, you know, no mortgage, no kind of like bills, no living within the confines of how we're supposed to live, like having that freedom. And that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to give us just a huge amount of freedom to be self-sufficient and to not have to rely on anything outside of ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just have a feeling that when spring comes, you will find the place.
Yeah.
You're going to just know it. It's going to be right there. And you're going to be like, oh my God, this is it. This is like,
yeah. I've been looking at so many different places. I found somewhere the other day that had a waterfall in the woodlands and it looked incredible. So yeah, it's kind of going on my vision board.
I just felt like there's fairies by the waterfall. I don't know why you said that. And I just pictured like little fairies.
I love that. I absolutely love that. Thank you.
Yeah. That sounds beautiful. I want a place at the waterfall.
You can come visit.
I would love that. England, like UK, Europe, all of that is like absolutely on my list. I haven't been over there. It's been the summer in Asia. My dad lives in China. So I stayed in China for 8 weeks. Got to go all over Asia, Thailand, Philippines. I loved Hong Kong. So next year is Japan. So slowly but surely, I'm going to make my way around the globe.
I love that. I was actually looking at a cruise today from, it was, I think, 3 nights in Tokyo. And then it was a cruise of Japan, but then went across to Alaska. So it was repositioning over to Alaska. So I was looking at that. I've not been to Japan. I love Thailand and Singapore. Hong Kong is amazing. I've traveled a little bit in Asia. But yeah, Bali is really calling me at the moment. Indonesia, Bali. And there's a few others. Madagascar, Mauritius, Seychelles. Yeah, Indian Ocean.
Are you open to finding property anywhere in the world? Or
at the moment, we have 3 cats. So we're kind of looking in the UK right now, although I don't know, who knows what's going to be happening in the world. It's so unpredictable and so crazy right now. So sure. I don't know. Mexico has always felt like home to me. It's always been a second home.
Mexico. Have you been to Sayulita? I want to live in Sayulita.
I haven't been to Sayulita, no. I would love to go. I visited quite a bit of the Pacific coast and then Playa, Cancun, Mahual, kind of Caribbean side, Cozumel from working on cruise ships. And I love that side. And I've got a lot of friends that kind of moved out there when it all started going a bit crazy in the world. And they're they all disappeared to Mexico.
Yeah. I love Puerto Vallarta and Sayulita. They're like within 2 hours of each other. So put that on the list.
I will do. I love Puerto Vallarta. My friends got married there a couple of years ago. It was amazing.
Beautiful there. Well, Emma, I could chat with you all day because your life plan is so intriguing. And obviously, we both have a love for travel. Well, what are some final thoughts that you would like to leave listeners with? And also tell us where they can find you online as well.
Awesome. Thank you. Final thoughts. Life is short. Actually, death is short, right? Life is longer. I would say if there is anything that is in your heart that you really want to do, that you really want to go, places you want to visit, if you want to escape the current life that you live in and like be brave and anything is possible and you're only limited by your imagination. And so many people may tell you that you're crazy and you shouldn't be doing all of these things. But if you feel it in your heart and it's something that you want to do, go for it, right? Put on your big girl panties or your big boy panties and go for it, because people don't regret the things they do. They regret the things that they don't do. Yeah. So that's my message, my final thoughts.
That is really the best advice too. I mean, the only things that are impossible are the things that we don't do, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, loving that. So you can find me on, I am The Wild and Untamed Way on TikTok, on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook as Emma Louise Dyson. Yeah, I'm kind of in a bit of a transition at the moment with websites and things. Oh, by the time this launches, though, my website will be up and running. So that'll be wildanduntamed.co.uk, wildanduntamed.co.uk.
Perfect. And I will make sure that listeners have all of that information in this show notes. Well, to everybody out there listening, thank you so much for tuning in today. I love the conversation with Emma, and I know that you're going to enjoy it as well. So bye for now.
Thank you so much.
This podcast is brought to you by The Soul Experience. quantum healing hypnosis. Are you ready to embark on an inward journey of quantum healing? Quantum healing hypnosis is the most profound method of inner work and self-healing someone can do while on a spiritual path. In a single session, you experience past life regression, exploration between lifetimes, self-healing performed by your subconscious, release of trapped trauma, and answers to your most important life questions. Your higher self has a message for you and is here to help you and guide you on this life journey. Book a session today with Jennifer Mitchell at thesoulexperiences.com.